What makes someone a balanced leader? Hey there, this is your friend and guide, Caroline. On today's Balanced Leader, my incredible guest and I share strategies to help you lead with confidence, stay resilient, and avoid burnout. This isn't just about leadership. It's about thriving holistically, in mind, body, and spirit. Ready to recalibrate? Well, let's dive in and create the balanced life you deserve. Welcome to this edition of today's Balanced Leader. My guest today is Chris Mamone. He's an acceptance coach and the founder of the Empowered Grief Journey Coaching Practice and podcast. And Chris helps individuals move from a place of pain into a place of hope and empowerment through their grief. He supports those navigating grief, loss, and trauma to rediscover self-acceptance and step into their personal power so they can create an inspiring future grounded in healing, truth, and purpose. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on today, Carolyn. I'm really glad to connect with you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I know we've chatted before and we've just kind of connected right away and love, you know, how we both think about grief. And as I said, let's just get right into it. And I often say that people are challenged with grief, and it's really funny because grief is something everybody in the world is going to experience, yet most of us were never taught how to navigate it in life, in leadership, and often not even within ourselves. And I'll be honest for a moment, you know, this isn't just a conversation for me, it's personal. You know, I felt the weight of grief myself, losing my dad in 2020, and that loss shaped how I show up, how I lead, what I do in life, how I connect with people I care about. And to be honest, my focus on my legacy. And it wasn't obviously my first experience with grief. The other one that was big for me was when I lost my grandmother at the age of 16. You know, looking back as an adult, there's so much I wish I could have asked both of them, learned from them, and said to them. But that's part of the complexity of grief, right? It lingers, it shapes us, and if we let it, it can really wake us up from what matters most. So Chris, I know you don't just talk about grief. You actually help people transform through it, which I absolutely love. And you describe it as a deeply personal journey, one that helps you realign with who and where you're meant to be. Can you share a little bit about that? Let's start there.
Definitely. I appreciate you sharing your backstory, Carolyn. I'm very sorry for your loss recently. That's a very hard one to go through, but it's one that can be also very, one of my podcast guests called it brutal and beautiful at the same moment. Grief is a very deeply personal transformation journey. That's what a lot of people don't understand about grief. And it's something of a situation in our life where we're stepping away from who we were, and that version of ourselves in the past no longer exists. And so we're stepping into, by the way, our alignment of who we're becoming. And that's a very uncertain, unfamiliar, kind of scary. I don't know what this is going to look like or how this is going to be or what things are going to happen in the future. And we're rediscovering ourselves on a very deep level. And so because of that huge amount of uncertainty, that's why grief is so painful for a lot of people, is that we're not just dealing with the heavy emotions of loss and trying to figure out navigating our life without this person or this job or this relationship, or maybe we even lost ourselves for that matter. We're trying to figure out how to navigate forward from that. And that's why, you know, society shares with us a lot that grief is something we have to let go of and move on and get over it. And life happens and you just got to move forward. You just have to go. And that skips over the emotional concept that we're human beings having a human experience. We're emotional beings. We don't have the ability to detach ourselves fully emotionally from these processes. And so that's why grief is very misunderstood. And it's why people don't like to talk about it or treat it like a taboo concept. It really is something that can be very brutal and very beautiful at the same time. And so I walk people down that journey when they're in that hard place of grief to say, I know this was really hurtful and I know this is very painful, but what I am going to share is when we find that place of acceptance to say, I don't like this and I don't agree to it, but I accept it fully for what it is and what happened. I now give myself freedom and permission to break free of guilt and shame or any self-blame that I put on myself to create this new life going forward. And That new life, by the way, is a new version of me. And who am I at that point? And who do I want to become? And so I help people walk through that process in a very empowering way.
And you had shared and share what you want with my listeners, but I know your own personal journey was one that was really difficult. And I would say a lot of times we do hit rock bottom when we're going through particular grief. And I think that's shaped who you've become, but maybe you can speak a little bit about kind of what because our listeners may be going through that. So if you're at your rock bottom moment around grief, because I know for me it was, and it's different for everybody. For me, it was, how can the world continue to move on when this happened? What did it look like for you? And then, because for you talk about how it became a turning point for you around empowerment. Can you share just a little bit about that?
Oh, definitely. I'm going to share with you guys a 30,000 foot overview of my loss journey in the last 5 years. In 2020, I lost my grandfather to terminal cancer, and I had the unforeseen circumstance of having him in my arms when he passed away and took his last breath. And that was my first experience watching somebody die. And I'll say that that's a very traumatic experience. I don't care if you're 50, 60 years old or 20 years old. That's a very traumatic experience to see that. And that was one that made my head stop. I questioned a lot of things about my life and what was going on with my family and what I was doing for work. And it exploded into this analyzing every part of my life and if I was happy or not.
We'll get back to Chris's story in the moment, but you just heard him speak to what happens when life cracks you open, when the loss is personal, but the expectations keep piling up. For many leaders, that pressure doesn't pause. This business still needs them, the team still leans on them, but inside they're struggling. That's where my coaching comes in. I work with high-achieving leaders who've been identified by their company as strong, but privately they're carrying too much. This isn't performance coaching. It's nervous system-informed leadership support that helps them reset, regulate, and lead from solid ground. Together, we calm the overwhelm, rebuild inner stability, and create space for their voice, boundaries, and power to come back online. Because when your leader is supported as a human, they show up fully for the business and for themselves. Want to invest in your people beyond performance? Then visit my website or DM me and learn how I help your leaders become the grounded, emotionally intelligent leaders your business actually needs. Now back to the program.
And 2 years later, after that, I had the very unfortunate situation of losing my first and only child to stillbirth, a day before he's supposed to be born. His heart stopped. And I will share that that loss in particular, I felt like I died that day. I don't even know how to really describe it other than I felt like I died inside. I felt like my world just stopped. It would be like slamming on the brakes on your car going 100 miles an hour. That's what it feels like. And you just feel this complete sense of loss. Nothing matters at that point. You don't care about paying your bills. You don't care about if you keep your house or not. You don't care about your job. You don't care about who stays in your life, who doesn't. You don't care about those things at all because something that deeply affecting in you rips out that external world very, very quickly. And it forces you to sit there and say, I just lost the one thing that matters so much to me. And all this other stuff doesn't matter anymore. And so that one in particular, I'll share with you guys who are in rock bottom. I hit my rock bottom moment at a stoplight leaving the hospital after I didn't get to bring my son home. And I have never forgotten how angry I was then that moment. It was a level of anger I've never had in my life before. And that anger, by the way, wasn't loud. It wasn't screaming or yelling or throwing things around. It wasn't that. It was a very still, very quiet anger. And what I knew in that moment was that I have hit rock bottom. I've now lost everything in my life that really, really mattered to me. And at that point, I said, I have a choice right now. I can continue to go back to that old life of things that don't serve purpose in my life anymore and those bad relationships that are not giving me any value. I can go back to that job that's awful. I can do all those things, but I'll continue to feel worse than I do now. Funny story. And so I told myself, this is a turning point in this journey. This is a moment where you get to decide what path you go. And the outcome doesn't necessarily matter, but it's about your actions you're going to take. And it's going to be a reevaluation point in your life of what you will and won't tolerate and what you want. And so Again, this doesn't have to come in a very high level of anger, by the way. What actually happened to me next when I drove through that light was something in my brain broke. And what happened was a very still, very quiet processing of saying, I'm just done with certain things in my life. That's it. I don't have any more, nothing about it. I'm done with these things. I'm moving on. And so that process has been unfolding for the last 2.5 years. And what I can share with you guys about hitting rock bottom is that the things that are not meant for you, whether that's bad relationships, a bad job, aspects of yourself you don't like, it will automatically disappear for you. It will literally just drift off in the distance. You'll never see it again. And I will tell you that that's a very powerful moment when you have that moment, and I know you guys will, because what happens next is you open up the door for all this good stuff to come towards you. And you don't have to push or force, by the way. It will gravitate towards you because it's meant to be.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about it, all I could see is I remember my grief cracking me wide open was when I realized I felt like my pilot light had gone out, right? It was
Powerful.
just to your point, there was no anger, it was just no purpose anymore. And I think it can be painful, but it can be powerful. And I love how you share with that around your journey. What would you say, Chris, in that time? Because that can be a really short period of time, it can be a long period of time, but you know, when you realize that certain things are no longer going to be important in your life, that is powerful. But what part do you think surprised you the most through the process that you went through?
The part that surprised me the most is I had a level of love inside me that I never even knew. And had I not lost my son the way I did, I'll be dead honest with you guys, I would never have found that. And so he gave me a very powerful level of love inside me. And I told myself, by the way, it's happened probably a month after he passed, but I said, everything good that happens next in my life is all going to start with him. I said, I don't know why I'm saying that, and I have no idea where I came up with that, but I told myself that very early on in my grief. And so I allowed myself to stay open to that. And my podcast, my coaching practice, the things that I have in my life right now have all come out of that grief journey. And it's just because I chose to sit with that grief. And I'll say that sitting with your grief is very painful. It hurts. It's not fun. I'll tell you that. It's a very dark place at times. And as Carolyn said, hitting rock bottom, it's not fun. But I will say, when you hit rock bottom, everything that is holding you back goes away. It starts to go away. And you start giving yourself permission, by the way, to move forward. You give yourself permission to choose a different path in your life. You give yourself permission to open up those doors to aspects of yourself that you never really explored. And so that was a big turning point for me when I actually felt that.
Yeah, Chris, I can't even fathom that. Like, you know, you talk about grief, and I always say there's different forms of grief. Grief is always bad, but there's different levels of grief, right? And I think the other piece is, you know, society tells us to move on. You get your couple of days off or your week off, and then it's time to move on. Like, there's supposed to be this timeline to feeling whole again. But grief doesn't work like that, right? It comes in waves, and that's what I've been trying to teach leaders when they're, you know, whether they're dealing with grief themselves or with somebody on their team has lost people, it's going to come and go. There are going to be days where they're fine, and then it's going to be in waves, or unexpected reminders are going to pop up. And so how do you describe, because people talk about the move on, how do you help people understand the difference between moving on and moving forward?
You know, I'm really glad you asked that question because not enough people do in the grief space. And something that I'll tell my story of how I got to that place. I was on a podcast myself, and I had somebody actually tell me, "Oh, you seem very fully healed from the child loss." And I said, "Oh, I'm far from that. I am far from fully healed." And I said, "It'll never happen." And I shocked this guy, and he said, "Well, how can you say you'll never be fully healed?" And I said, "Because for me to be fully healed, I would have to let go of all emotional attachment to that moment of things in my life, that grief, that pain, that loss. I'd have to get emotionally detached from it and literally say to myself, well, it happened. It's an experience, but it doesn't affect me anymore. So I'm okay." And grief doesn't work that way. I've interviewed 79 people on my podcast. Not a single one has handled grief like that. Funny story. So What I like to say is that moving on from grief is a big fallacy. It's a big lie you'll tell yourself. And the reason I phrase it that way, your body will tell you that that's not going to happen. Your body will. And that may come up in a very inopportune time if you have that mindset. And that may actually cause more problems for you in your healing process. So, what I like to share with people is that grief is not about moving on, it's about moving forward with it. And something that I'll share that was really powerful for me. Not too long after I lost my child, I was walking in a retail store and some woman's child that was probably 5, maybe 6 years old, if that, was playing in front of a mirror, walking in the aisle where I was. And he just fell down on the floor, having his own little world of fantasy with the sword fight or something. And his mom got really angry at him and she starts apologizing to me. Now, I didn't tell her I just lost a child, by the way. I didn't tell her that. But in my eyes, what I saw there was, you have something I'm never going to get again. You have that. I don't. And so when I talk about moving forward with grief, I always try to say that those are the experiences you'll have, and you have to learn how to move forward with it. And in that moment, by the way, I've learned that I do everything in my coaching practice and podcast to honor my son's legacy. I carry him forward with me. I tell people to visualize this for people who are listening or maybe watching this. I want you to picture your grief as a little child, a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old sitting right beside you every day. And some days, by the way, it's going to be very quiet. It's going to be an okay day for you. You're going to be able to live life the way you want to. Things will be fine. You'll be happy. There's other days it's going to start pulling on your shirt really, really hard. And it's going to start yanking at you hard. And it's going to be like a child screaming, throwing a fit and a temper tantrum. It's going to feel like that. And so the reason I say move forward is that you're going to have both of those experiences in your grief journey. And they're going to happen, by the way, throughout your life. You're never going to get over it. You're never going to move on from it. But I want you to know that in those moments, by the way, especially when it's yanking hard, that grief wants you to make it feel seen and heard and understood. So what you can do, by the way, to move forward with grief is talk to it like a child. I'm dead serious about this. Say, what do you need right now? How can I make you feel seen? How can I make you feel heard? What do you need right now? What do I need to hear? What do I need to learn? Maybe there's a lesson. Talk to your grief like that because your grief is guiding you. And that's something that, why I say you can't move on from grief. Grief is your biggest teacher. It's your biggest gift you've ever got. And it's a gift that I always tell people is the gift in shitty wrapping paper. We didn't want it this way. We didn't ask for it that way. And we're always going, ew, what is this? We have that feeling to it. But when you dig into that wrapping paper, by the way, the beauty of that gift shows itself. And that's where you can be grateful, appreciative, empathetic, and loving towards that grief. And that's where, by the way, it will put you on a path to your alignment in a way that you'll never see coming. But it'll be a beautiful experience for you.
Love that. I think the grief really slows everything down for you, right? And you and I have chatted previously around when people, we talked about the getting over it, or you don't. I think grief never leaves you. You change who you become to be able to adapt to grief. Like, grief never goes away. And I don't think it should, right? Because to me, when you just move on and you forget about it, if you could, then that person probably wasn't important to you. It sounds horrible. Right? But I think when you love somebody, that grief just slows everything down. You see things so differently. And then over the course of time, to your point, the empowerment, you change who you become. And, I hate to say purpose, right? But sometimes it gives you a different purpose of what truly is important. And it's unfortunate we have to go through that to learn that lesson.
It is. But, I'll stay with that, though. That brings back the topic you discussed about grief being a personal transformation journey. It brings that back. And I say that grief is very personal from the following standpoint. I don't know what it was like to lose your father. I don't know what that relationship was like. I don't know what that experience was when you had time with him. I and everybody else listening to this podcast are never going to know that experience, but you will. And so it's the same thing in the lost community of parents that I'm part of now. And I always call it the club I wish people are never a part of, but I'll say that there's a lot of empathy, love, and understanding there is that we can resonate on losing a child, but we all lost that child very, very different in very different circumstance. I talked to a woman yesterday, by the way, that lost a relationship with her mom. There's an estrangement there, and there's grief over somebody that's still living. And so my moral of the story, and I'll wrap up with this, is just that grief is very personalized experience. And that's why it's important to hold space for people going through grief because you don't know the other side of that fence. You don't know what that was like. And if you have a very strong emotional connection with somebody, which a lot of us do, that's a very personalized thing that we should let those stories come out and we should give people space to share because we may very well end up in that experience in our life at some point. And by the way, listening to that person's story can prepare us for that or teach us things that maybe before that person passes, we're given a chance to have a better relationship and get those memories that we wanted before that happens.
I don't disagree at all. And you and I chatted. I was like, I just can't fathom what you went through. Thank God I've never lost a child, but I just can't imagine that. And so, I think part of what comes up for me when you talk about that is no one can really tell you how to grieve, to your point, because it's very personal, but people love to give advice. How do you recommend setting boundaries when others push their version of healing onto you?
I really appreciate you asking that question. That's another one not many people ask, and it's a beautiful question, by the way. I will share with listeners, I identify people in my grief journey as safe people or unsafe people, is how I identify things. And I will say, one of the hardest parts that I had to learn, and I made mistakes, so I'm going to share that with you guys too. When I lost my child, I found out very quickly there were people that were not safe, and that included family members too, by the way. I had people tell me after I lost my son, "Well, at least we know you make beautiful babies. Thank you for saying a very hurtful comment." I've also had people say, "You'll have another one. It'll happen. Don't stress. Another child's not going to replace my child I lost. Thank you for saying that." I say those things sarcastically a little bit because I want to show you guys what that feels like when people say insensitive comments to you. And I did this on purpose. So when you get done listening to the podcast, if you are going through grief or feel stuck in grief, I want you to reflect on conversations you have with people. If there are people out there saying comments like that, like I just described to you, they're unsafe people and you should not spend time around them, let alone open up your grief story or any of your trauma to them. Because what ends up happening is you're going to feel resentment and some hurt towards that, number one. Number two, you're now having to manage someone else's emotions on top of your own while you're trying to grieve. And that can be very, very hard for a griever to do because you're in a very emotional, volatile state. You're in a place where you're looking for compassion, you're seeking validation. You need somebody to listen, to feel heard, to feel understood, somebody to say, "I get you, I understand you." And there's a lot of people out there that are just not capable of giving that to you. And I'm saying this sincerely. But I want you to know that there are people out there, by the way, that will give that to you. I happen to be one of them. And I will share that in the lost community of parents, I share my story with Caden in that community a lot because those people get it. I never get insensitive comments. I just get, "I get it. I lost a kid too. I'm here to listen. I'm here to hear the story. I'm here to help you if you're having a really hard day with something. I just want to be there for you in whatever way we can." You want to look for people too that can ask a powerful question. How can I support you today? That's the best question you can ask a griever. Put the power back to the griever, by the way. They're the ones going through that. They're experiencing a loss. Get them to tell you what they need. And so, in my coaching practice, for example, I get asked all the time, "Do you give people advice?" Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just listen to them and I ask powerful questions based on what they're giving me. Because the last thing a griever wants to be told is what to do or how to heal or how to grieve. That's the last thing they need. So I'm very big about asking that question. What does a griever need? How can I support you today? What do you need today to help make yourself feel just a little bit better as you're navigating this grief? And when you get into those deeper conversations, people will hold space for you and acknowledge you. And so I want to encourage you to find those safe people out there because those are the ones that'll help you heal and they're the ones that'll be there for you as you're going through this process.
That was absolutely beautiful, Chris, because my mind, as you're talking about it, my mind's going all over the place because you feel like your family's supposed to be the safe ones. Sometimes they're not. So to your point, it's as the person on the other side, it's having that empathy, compassion, but just being completely vulnerable, a bit being uncomfortable, right? So when you have that question, the person who's lost somebody may just want to share a story because they thought of something beautiful and that's what made them cry. Or, they're really struggling on a particular day. And I love how you say, what is it you need from me? What can I do to support you? I think those words, not just in grief and so many things, are so powerful when you put the ownership back on the person. Because a lot of times, as individuals, we make assumptions. And I could tell you 9 times out of 10, those assumptions are incorrect. So you just, you can continue to be there to listen to, and for me and you in coaching space, it's all about holding safe space for somebody, which means listening to what they have to say and then just being there to give guidance with whatever they want. When we talk about that, Chris, because we talked a lot about more the home piece, I want to shift into the workplace a little bit because I feel like there's this huge opportunity, and this is about leaders here, right? Because grief doesn't just show up in your home. It's not like you walk through the door and you leave it at the door. It comes with you. It comes with you into meetings, into your ability to support others. And I can speak about that personally, where normally I would hold space for somebody, but the day I came back, the question that was posed to me didn't feel important to me. And obviously I hadn't grieved enough and, probably said things that I shouldn't have said. So I think often leaders avoid talking about it. Why do you think everybody, like most workplaces, are so uncomfortable with anything that slows down productivity or they don't know how to talk about it? How do you guide leaders to balance that compassion with accountability when a teammate is grieving? Because I know you've had some experience around that. How do we address it in every team? Because we're all eventually going to face this. What does that look like for you?
So I'll start by saying I did not get support at the companies I worked for when I went through grief. I got treated like I was a problem. I had something wrong with me. I needed to just suck it up and move on. I needed to get my head figured out. I got treated like that in a lot of ways. And I will say, by the way, very, very incorrect way to deal with that. Very incorrect. I was a different kind of manager in my job with things. I was compassionate, I was empathetic, and I was very much, I want to understand my team. I want to understand people going through things. I wish somebody would have done that with me, by the way. The reason I'm going to share this is Gary Vee said something very powerful a while ago when I was going through my grief. And he said that as a manager or a business owner, if you expect your employees to care enough about the business the way you do, you have a very false sense of reality in running a business, a very bad one. And he got a lot of flack for that comment, so he elaborated on it. And what he said the following is that all employees and people are driven very differently by different things. And if somebody is going through grief, work's not the primary focus over there. Work is secondary, third. Grief is number one. And so you have to understand where somebody's at. You also have to understand what makes them tick. You have to understand where they're at and meet them there. And this is where I think as leaders, we all miss this in business a lot. When somebody goes through losing a child or losing a spouse or going through a cancer journey for whatever reason, you got to understand that those things are taking up an enormous amount of time space in their head. And when they go into a meeting sometimes and somebody's maybe a little snappy or like I was, I stopped caring at a certain point months after I lost my grandfather. It's not so much that there's a problem with them. That's the complete opposite of the situation. They're not a problem. They're going through an experience and they need help and they're not getting it. That's what you got to understand about people in the workplace. There's other things going on. And I think as leaders, I don't see this enough in managers, and I wish more managers would have this capacity to understand that we're all people. We are all humans. We all have emotions. Some of us don't deal with it as well as others. Some of us are not as normal as you want to make it out to be. I use air quotes for that because those ideologies are actually more damaging than they are helpful. And so, as a leader, I think the biggest thing you can do on your team, if you're in that place like I was as a manager, try to understand the people you're working with individually, not as a collective group, but individually, because you're dealing with a lot of personalities. You might have a type A person that can get over things a lot easier and can be a little more focused in certain areas. You might have a type B person that just isn't able to move as quickly as a type A. And so you've got to be able to identify where these people are at. You've got to meet them where they're at. You can't do this like top-down thing like I see all the time. That's a bad way of leadership. You got to come right here, peer to peer. And that's where I think when you open up that door to saying, how can I support you today? Or, hey, John, I know you've been going through a lot dealing with the loss of your father. I know that is incredibly hard. Is there something I can do here to support you better? Do you need to take the afternoon off today? I can get this thing covered and handled for you, no problem. I want to make sure I give you a little bit of room on that to have some space. I don't see employers doing that. What I do see is here's 3 days of bereavement. I hope you can get over it by then and back to work. And I, like I've said, our brain and our body do not work like that. And so we end up putting people in places where they're coming back to work. They're dealing with a lot of grief, and it takes one thing at work. That could be an errant comment from somebody, a manager being really condescending. It can be one of those things that happens, and it's enough to tip somebody to get fired. And it's not necessarily their fault, by the way. It's that it was mismanaged and mishandled. And that's where I think we have a lot of opportunities in the business world to be more compassionate, to be more empathetic. Business is going to happen all day long. The business is going to be fine if somebody's gone for a week. I hate to tell you that, but you're not going to die. But if you take care of your employees, you treat them like people and not a number. I can tell you right now, when they get through going through that hard part of grief and you were there for them, they're not going to want to get fired or quit or whatever. They're going to stick with you. So there's just a big opportunity that I see.
Yeah, and I would say being that I was in the HR space for over 30 years, one of the things that I learned early on in my career that I found super helpful, and not every business has this, but we worked with an employee assistance program. And whenever we even did this when an associate passed on, it didn't matter whether they were with us for 3 months or they were with us for 30 years. Obviously, different grieving process, but we would actually get a counselor to go there, and the first thing they would do is gather all the leaders, because what you're doing is you're supporting the leaders first on their grieving themselves, and they've now got a team that they need to support going through it. So it's trying to help them grieve themselves. What can we do to support you? Where do you need help? But also, here are some tools that you can use with your team, and then pulling the team in or being available. And I think sometimes the loss, I see the big miss is people are afraid to deal with it. They're afraid to have the conversation. They almost shy away from it, other than offering condolences, where I know whenever something happened, I would pull my team in and we would have a conversation where I would be open, let them know they could come back and speak to me, but also give them guidance on how we could support the employee once they return to work. Because to your point, they're not going to take their 3 days off, come back, and be fine. So a lot of times people want to say the right thing, but they're afraid of doing it wrong or making it worse. And I think that's the fear. So, Chris, what's one simple thing that you've guided people on, like a human thing you encourage leaders to do in those moments?
I think the biggest thing I'd encourage a leader or a manager to do is break that barrier, that top-down thing. I know people are very scared to talk to their managers about things like that, and rightfully so, because most managers are not very educated on how to deal with that. Try to find a way to break that barrier with your team, and that can be really small and simple, by the way. You could do something, like at the end of the day, for example, or maybe around lunchtime, and just say, "Hey, I was just thinking about you today. I know you've been going through a lot. I just want you to know my door's open if you want to talk to me. I'm here to listen. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm just here to listen. If you need support, let me know how I can help you. If there's something that would make this process a little easier, I'd love to learn how I can best support you." If another way to do that too that I think is really helpful, a little card. A little card, thank you card, or sympathy card, something like that, and write something kind on there, that same message. I'm here to support you whatever way I can. Please let me know how I can assist you. Open up that door so it's not this top-down thing, but just person to person, human to human. That's my biggest thing I could encourage leaders to do, because I think that when we are in that work environment, it is tricky, right? We have HR policies all over the place. There's things you can and can't say. A lot of companies are very, very regulated beyond comprehension. And I think that that erases a lot of the human aspect, by the way. That's why we end up in these weird places of things during grief. So really, I would encourage you as a manager to remember that, yes, they're team members and colleagues and coworkers, but they're people. They're actual people just like you. And the reality is they're going to face grief just like you. And so my analogy with that is I used to race sailboats all the time, and I used to have a crew of 8 to 10 people on a boat. all 8 to 10 of us had to do something collective to win a sailboat race. And when someone got hurt, like when I got knocked in the head and got a concussion, other people stepped up and helped me work through that race so we could win something or get in a good place. And so create that kind of environment where you're working collectively and collaboratively through that process. Because you may find, by the way, that coworker going through grief might also teach you a lot of ways to work through that with somebody so that if it does happen again in the future, you're now better prepared to handle that. And you'll actually be a better leader because of them. So it's a, I see it as a mutually beneficial environment situation.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoy that because as you were talking about it, I was thinking about the team dynamics of when you're on a sailboat and somebody goes down, you got to continue the momentum, the team momentum, but how do you support each other? It's the community aspect of taking care of each other. So when somebody's down, the next person steps in and picks up. And I love that. And I think a leader truly can lead by example when it comes to stuff like that. So yeah. You know, when we talk leadership development, we talk a lot about resilience. But I find that resilience is born in moments of heartbreak. It's not just, you know, I've lived a tough life. It's true heartbreak. How do you feel your own grief, Chris, has made you more empowered in your life and in your business? I know part of it has been you've restructured what's important to you, but maybe share a little bit more about kind of that journey.
What I'll share with you guys about resilience, it is founded in the hardest moments of your life, the ones that you thought you were never crawling out of or getting out of a hole, whatever it is. I mean, that's where resilience is found. And so, something that I'll share with you guys where I really learned what resilience was in my life, I read a book by David Goggins called Can't Hurt Me. And anyway, this book, it makes me choke up a little bit because his dad was very abusive towards him and his mom growing up. David was covered in bruises most of his life growing up from being beaten by his dad, and his mom was the same way. But he went on to run ultra marathons. He went on to do Navy SEAL training. He became a SEAL. He did Delta School, Ranger Force, and he went through broken shin bones. He went through all sorts of torture on his body, and the guy was just resilient beyond comprehension. And something that he shared in the book that I want to share with you guys is the following. When you want to find resilience in your life, make scratch your best friend. Starting over is your best friend. Goggins really taught me in that book that we all get this plan and idea for our life, and then grief hits, and then a loss hits, and then we get set back again, and we get disappointed, or we get frustrated, or we get bothered that that future we were looking for is now gone, or it's different. And now we get caught up in this. It didn't happen for me this way. That resilience, though, did happen for you on purpose, and it happened for you, not to you. And so what I want to share about resilience is that when you get knocked down, think about it as attempt number one. I tried this one time, it didn't work. I'm going to move on to attempt number two and three and four and so many times on. And I will share with you that every time you attempt and you make scratch your best friend, like he talked about, there's a new version of yourself coming through that resilience. And you become this person, by the way, over time through these experiences. I share with people that I wasn't the same person before I lost my grandfather as I was when I lost him. And even after, I was a different person. Before I lost my son, after I lost my son, totally different person. Who I am today, coaching people in the grief space, I'm still a different person. Accept yourself that you're going to change. I know people hate that word change, they don't like it. And resilience, though, is that thing that makes us change. And what it changes inside of us, by the way, is it gives us the ability to adapt and survive and become something better than we were the day before. So I want to encourage you guys, all those setbacks, all those fails that you guys hear about, those are making you a better person every single time they happen, no matter how hard they are, no matter what struggle comes from it. You're going to look back on that in 5 years and say, man, I survived that. That was rough. Like, I don't even know how I made it out of that. But you'll see yourself where you are today and you'll go, but I'm this person I am today. And if that never happened, I wouldn't be here. And so then it becomes a blessing and a gift to you and not a painstaking thing that happened. And so I share to say resilience. You know, when I lost my son, that's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. Be dead honest with you, the hardest thing I've ever gone through. It has made me the most kind, empathetic, compassionate person, and it's made me see the world in an entirely different way. And had I not lost him that way, I wouldn't be who I am today. And so that resilience made me into somebody stronger, somebody better, and I'm out there doing better work than I ever was. And so I want to encourage you guys, resilience is carrying you down that path. So be kind to yourself and open yourself up to that experience and take it for what it is, because you're going to become a better person. It's going to be a beautiful process for you.
I love that. Thank you. And I think the other piece, you know, to go back just a little bit and then forward, there's still this narrative in companies, particularly at the leadership level, that showing your emotions, especially grief, somehow makes you weak. But we know that real strength often looks different. So, you know, for listeners that are holding grief right now, Chris, whether quietly or loudly, what's the one truth that you want them to hold on to as they navigate their next step?
As you navigate your next step, what I want to share, since you brought up emotions and how people hold those in, number one, showing emotion does not mean you're weak. That is the biggest lie you have ever been told. I'm telling you guys that from a deep, honest place. Lying to yourself about that one is going to hurt you more than the actual pain you're going through. Number two, your emotions, those are messages. You actually need to listen to them. I will share with you guys, I was making a box for my son's ashes 2 months after he passed, and I got really upset at the wood and I stepped on it, smashed my foot. I was in a boot for 6 weeks. In that moment, by the way, when I was in insurmountable pain, which was not even funny, and I was crawling up my stairs from my basement, crying and screaming and cussing, what came out after that, 10 minutes after that, was, I'm very upset that he's not here. I love my son so much that this is painful, and I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to grieve. I don't know how to feel my way through this. All of a sudden, what came out of that was my love for my son was represented with anger initially. Anger is a secondary emotion, it's not a primary emotion. So when you see anger come out in somebody, there's something underneath that that is not being let out, it is not being listened to. And so when I run across angry people, which I do all the time, and especially in grief, if you're very angry in your grief right now, I'm telling you right now, there's a big, beautiful emotion underneath that that you're not letting out. You're not letting yourself hear it or talk about it. And so I want to encourage you guys, emotions are messages. Listen to them. Always ask yourself, what's this emotion trying to tell me? Is there something I need to learn? Something I need to listen to right now? Is this emotion trying to guide me to a different course? Ask yourself those questions, because your emotions are powerful, powerful things that will guide you on your journey. And they will never lie to you, by the way. They never will. They will put you in alignment of where you need to be. And so, coming back to the workforce, I love when people are emotional. I've worked with very colorful people that they love to swear. They love to cuss up the yin yang. I see the passion behind it. It doesn't bother me. I don't care how they talk. I care about what's underneath that thing. Because when I can get them to see that, by the way, I made them a better person. But number two, I actually get what I need as a leader out of this person. And now I've turned sailor mouth person into a very passionate person in the business is driven, and they better understand themselves. How beautiful is that, by the way? We all win. And so, if you're going through grief personally, allow yourself to feel the emotions, allow yourself to, and listen to those messages, because you will have a very, very, very deep, powerful understanding of yourself that will put you in alignment of where you need to be.
Yeah, the deeper the emotion that you're going through, the bigger life lesson that you're going to have. I always say the further you go down, the higher you get to come up, where if you try and hide it, you're never really going to, it's going to come out at some time. So you might as well ride the wave and experience it, because it is part of our journey that like I said, every person's going to go through some form of grief. So I think it's important. I can speak for myself that when I lost my dad, probably the biggest lesson, well, two lessons that I learned from losing him, because I was going through divorce at the time, was that I wanted my legacy to matter. I didn't want my kids to think, I didn't want my legacy to be that my kids thought I worked a lot of hours. Mom worked really hard. And the other thing was, to your point, really grieving allowed me to come out the other end with more courage to stand my ground when I was going through my divorce, where I normally probably would have allowed myself to get walked on, where I just was kind of like, no, I'm not, to your point, I'm not tolerating this anymore. This stops today. Because at the end of the day, you know, what's important? And I think those were two big lessons that I learned. So I think for listeners, it's To your point, ride the wave, but certainly get support because it's hard to ride the wave by yourself. And somebody like Chris can help you through those challenges or a counselor or whatever that is. But because sometimes you can go into a very dark space, and just having that person to hold that safe space for you and let you know it's okay is going to make a world of difference. So don't suffer through it yourself. And I love how you talked about the there's people that are going to be safe for you, and there's people that are going to be unsafe for you. That was a huge takeaway for me around, you know who those people are. You know those ones too that are going to make it about them and not about you. So I think that's the other piece that's important because I can think of people doing that too. Chris, what would you say was like out of your journey, what was the biggest lesson, valuable lesson you learned? Or you talked a little bit about how there's, you know, people that you've listened to or gotten involved in, but what would you say supported you the most? Was it a book? What had the most profound impact on you as you were going through your journey?
I would say, so I didn't have a lot of people in my life when I went through these things. I unfortunately navigated grief very isolated and very alone. I had my wife with me, but I can only lean on her for so much of that. And so what I would really like to share about that is that I did Tony Robbins events during COVID, right after my grandfather passed. I did some events with him, and that changed my perspective a lot on the world. It also helped me navigate grief a little bit easier. And what I mean by that is that I saw people from different cultures that didn't even speak my language going through the same thing that I was going through, same experience, same walk of life. But I saw these people dealing with it in very different ways, very beautiful ways too, by the way. And what I saw in that event in particular is I saw love, I saw kindness, I saw empathy, I saw understanding. I saw people that spoke Danish talking to English people, and the language barrier was big, and they connected right off of facial cues, connected. And I started realizing this world is a lot smaller than we think it is, and we're able to resonate and connect with people more than we give ourselves the ability to do so. When I read David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me, that book got me through some very, very dark times in my life. I went from 249 pounds to 204 pounds. I worked out, and I also, he calls it callousing up your mind. You know, I'll let you guys read the book to learn more about that, but I'll just say that it really taught me to move from a place of a victim mentality into taking back control of my life. And I say this very carefully in the grief space because I don't want to offend people, but I was there, so this is why I'm talking about it. When you stay in your grief and get very, very stuck in it, it is very susceptible and easy for you to get into that victim place of why did this have to happen to me, or why is this happening, or why can't you support me this way, or why can't you listen to me? It's very easy to start directing that stuff outwards and trying to seek that validation everywhere. And what I want to share that I learned on my journey from reading, I read over 40 books in 2022. I don't even have time to go into all those, but I'll just say the following. You have the answers inside you. You don't need to look for them elsewhere. I want to be really clear about that. You have the answers inside you. When you let go of the victim mentality, and what I mean by that is accepting yourself fully for everything that you are, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, everything. Accept yourself for who you are. Those answers will start coming up, and you'll start going into that place, like Caroline just said a few minutes ago. This is what I'm going to tolerate. This is what I'm going to allow. This is what I accept. This is what I don't. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. You start stepping in your power. This is what I guide people on in my coaching practice, is finding that power within themselves. Because when you find that, by the way, you are unstoppable. And this is the beautiful gift, by the way, that grief will give you. And I can tell you right now, when I lost my son, I didn't see this for a good year and a half. I didn't see it. For some people, that might take longer, it might be shorter. It's your journey, so I'm not here to tell you what time frame to stick to. It's your journey. But I want you to know that when you do find that and you step in your power, you become a very, very powerful person, my friend. And you will step into a place in life where you have control, you make decisions, you decide what you want, and your life will change very, very quickly. And you will be amazed, by the way, like I said earlier today, all the things you don't like will just start drifting away. All the friendships that are not meant to be, the job you don't like anymore that you said, well, I just got to stick it out, it's gone. It's in the past. It's out of there. what is over here in the future is a beautiful life that you get to create on your terms, on your path, on your way. And I can tell you right now, that will bring you so much happiness. And it's not about, by the way, the money or the house or the car. It's not even about any of that stuff. It's really about what makes you happy within. And what did grief give you as a gift? I always say it's a gift, lesson, or a blessing. It's always one of those three. And when it shows that to you, it will shake you at a core, but it'll do it in a good way. And you'll start sitting there saying, I finally have control of my life. I take my life back today. I get to start again. And this is going to be a powerful chapter because if I hadn't lost my father, if I hadn't lost my child, if I hadn't lost my grandfather, if I hadn't lost that job, I wouldn't have this opportunity over here. And what do I get to go create? And what do I get to give back? Those are the two things you get to focus on. I'm excited for you guys.
Goosebumps. It's so true because you talk about your purpose. I think we get caught up in what society tells us it needs to look like or companies tells us it needs to be like. And I think that's where you have the opportunity to actually be courageous and bold enough. And we talked a little bit about that to say, yeah, I don't buy that. That's not something that I believe in. And I think particularly as a leader, and I can speak for myself, push back, like push back on the business, push back on other people. When you're supporting somebody going through grief, if what the business says or supports doesn't meet the needs of the person that you're representing, you have every right to speak up, to do the right thing based on what you feel is the right thing. And you know, I've so many times, once I've gone through some pretty big grief, have been able to be the voice of that person to say, yeah, this 3 days crap, that's just not gonna fly. You know, I'm allowing this employee to have X, Y, and Z because it's what they need. It's what they've asked for. And sometimes the ask is just something as simple as, you know, I don't have a lawyer that can help me with the estate process that I have to deal with. What can I do to help you to find one, right? Like, let's explore this together because they feel so overwhelmed. And I think, that's where I got the goosebumps, that it's truly your opportunity to be the person who you want to be and show the humanity side of people. I have a t-shirt that says humankind on my shirt, and underneath it says be both, be human, be kind. Like, I think
I
that
love
just
that.
says it all around. You know, at the end of the day, how are people going to remember you? I know when I leave, there's going to be people that didn't agree with things that I did because I was in the HR world. But at the same time, I would hope, and I know there are, I would hope there are people that would be like, you know what? She actually listened and made a difference and changed the way the company did things and supports their employees because that's our job as leaders in particular. So.
You've brought up a powerful point that I didn't want to interrupt you with, but you threw it on the table, so I have to share it. When you brought up, by the way, that you could have stayed in HR, you could have done that career, and you said, what kind of legacy am I going to leave for my kids?
That was the lesson I learned when I lost my dad because it was through COVID, and I can imagine. I don't know what it was like for you in that period of time of COVID. I know we were in lockdown, it felt like for years where I reside in Ontario. I just felt like it was never ending. But I think the other piece that I learned was we weren't allowed a typical funeral because it was COVID. So you were only allowed 20 people, including immediate family, to go to the service. As a result, the phone calls, the text messages, the cards that we received with the legacy that my dad left behind was mind-blowing. It changed who I was. So I think it's always remembering what you want to be remembered for, as opposed to, was I a good soldier? Did I listen? It's who do you want to be? What's important to you? And when you take that lens in anything that you do in life, but particularly when you're supporting somebody through grief or yourself, it's okay to have a voice and say, this just doesn't fly, or this is what I need. Where can I get the support that I need? Because there are people out there that are willing to help you. So, in fact, you're one of them because I'm just looking at, sorry, I got teared up. I'm just looking at your offer for our listeners. So do you want to share or do you want me to share what you shared with me? The 1 hour empowerment call? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm happy to share, Carolyn. And I
Thanks.
want you to say, by the way, don't apologize for crying. I don't, that's the one thing I don't allow my clients to do ever is don't apologize for crying. Do not apologize for how you feel. And do not apologize for where you're at right now. You're going through grief. You deserve to have space held for you. So,
Thank you. You're so kind. So kind.
so I'll share with you guys my offers that I have for you is that I do offer a 1 hour empowerment call. And this is not some call to just to hype you up and get you excited. That's the complete opposite of this. What this is about is giving you a safe place, like you guys can see in my Zoom room here, a safe place to share where you're at in your grief journey or where you're at in your healing journey. It's a safe place for you to maybe express yourself or share where you're at or where what you have going on that maybe you're not getting in life right now. It's a place for you to get your needs met where you may not be getting them met elsewhere. It's also a place for you to learn a little bit about what coaching is and how it can actually help you. Sometimes, you know, therapy works well for some people it doesn't. And so I try to introduce you guys to coaching in the right way, just meaning that you can share with me where you're at, and I can share if I'm able to help you and in what capacity I can. And I want you guys to have that option and that ability to see if that's something that would work well for you. If that is, by the way, I am running a special of 25% off my 3 month and 6 month coaching packages through the end of July. The reason I'm doing that is I don't want finances getting in the way of you getting the support that you need. I can share somebody who's gone through some very deep grief and a lot of it in the last 5 years. When you don't get the support you need, it can cause havoc in a lot of areas of life. And I don't want you to miss an opportunity, and I don't want you to miss a place to take what grief is trying to show you and get you on a path of where you need to be. And the big question I always get all the time is doing coaching where you're going to tell me the answers and tell me what to do. That's the furthest thing from what I do. What I am doing is walking this journey with you. I'm walking beside you, and I'm just helping guide you on this path. To give you guys a good example, I'm coaching a 59-year-old woman that lost an uncle, her dad, and her mom all within a period of 3 years. Had to go through estate planning. She moved from one country back to the United States. She's got a lot of friends that are very turbulent, going through a lot of political stuff. And she's just gotten to a point where she said, I'm in so much grief right now that I just can't take it. I'm ready for a new life. I know what I want. I just don't know how to get there. And all the conversations that we have during our coaching calls exist around the following of how can I set boundaries for myself? How can I identify safe people versus unsafe people? How can I take little steps every day to work towards this life I want to create? And so these are not conversations about Chris telling you what to do or how to do it, but it's walking beside you to say, how can we figure this out together? And how can we pull those answers out of you? Because at my biggest mission of where I like what I do and I do what I do is that when I see people find those answers, I get really excited because you end up on a path where you're supposed to be and where your alignment is. And I could be not more happier for you in that moment than I will ever be because you're about to go on a mission and do something very powerful with your life. And it's a real honor, by the way, to walk with my clients through that journey. So I wanted to share that little example of what coaching's like with me. If you guys are interested, a free empowerment call is a great way to explore what that would look like for you, but also a safe place for you to share your story and share where you're at.
That was beautiful. Yeah, and I think, the coaching industry has probably gotten a little bit of a bad rap recently with some coaches. And what I love about that, Chris, is similar to me. It's about listening to what it is you want and pulling out those little nuggets and going, "Do you realize what you just said?" And then when they do take that, I call it turtle step, seeing that joy or that pilot light. Remember I said my pilot light went out? Seeing that pilot light up again, and just you and that is probably one of the biggest satisfactions that we get to have in our world is seeing somebody kind of almost have that epiphany of what joy and peace and calm and purpose looks like in their life, and having them take that first step towards it. So yeah, take Chris up if you're struggling. I would say doesn't matter where you are in your grief journey. In talking with Chris, so I mean, we've talked aside from this podcast, there's just been so many learnings around grief, and I truly believe that there's not enough conversation about grief. So you've got somebody in your back corner that's willing to support you and help you through it, and at the end of the day, it's going to allow you to become not only a better person, but a more empathetic person when somebody else is going through grief, which is what the world needs right now. So Thank you.
Yes,
Thank
yeah.
you so much for being a guest. We could talk forever, but yeah, check out Chris's information. I'm going to make sure I put all his podcast links and his social media links and his website, all that goodies in the show notes. So make sure you check him out and refer if you've got a friend. Just say, hey, it doesn't hurt to have a free call with Chris if you're going through something. So thanks so much, Chris, for your time.
Well, Carolyn, thank you for having me a guest on your podcast today. This was a true honor to talk to you, and I also appreciate you sharing your own grief story as we've gone through the podcast today. I really appreciate you being vulnerable enough to do that. And this was just a very purposeful, meaningful conversation, and I hope that whoever listens to this can take away one or two things that are going to help them on their journey, because you all have a beautiful gift, and I want you to know that. You guys all have something to give back and contribute to this world. And when you find those gifts, go out there and give, because that's the best way to heal.
Can't say it better myself. I'll end at that. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Balanced Leader. If you want to go even deeper, then visit my website at carolinebarrett.com, find some free resources, and look at all the different ways that I can support you to become your best self. Remember, change begins with just one small step. It's those tiny actions that start you on the path to achieving your dreams and finding balance. And as always, life is an experience. So take a moment to enjoy the journey and appreciate the progress you make along the way. Until next time, keep taking those small steps, savor the journey, and lead with courage and authenticity. This is Caroline reminding you to stay bold, stay balanced, and keep moving confidently towards your dreams.